Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Sometimes what players say matters. Not very often, but I believe this week it may be true. The three biggest Chiefs stars, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, have all said something different this week that we should take note of. If they're being real and not tossing around some cliche or something, Super Bowl 55 is about to be a freak show by the Chiefs. A furniture store owner in Texas has bet $3.5 million on Tampa in this game, but you need to hear the rest of the story as to why he would do such a thing. It's pure business, and I love it. Candace Owens is young, brilliant, bold, unafraid, conservative, and black, and she has just blown up AOC for the ages. This is a catfight between somebody that's totally real and totally fake. I would pay big money to watch these two debate. You got to hear what Candace did to AOC this week. 10 days ago, President Biden promised his family would not profit off his presidency. Then, disgusting son Hunter gets a book advance for $2 million to write about all his drug use, prostitution, and porn. You're kidding me, right? I wish it weren't true. It's the same book company that dropped Christian family man, Ivy League lawyer, and U.S. Senator Josh Hawley for the mortal sin of being conservative. What is going on? And the White House press secretary has a homophobic tweet about Senator Lindsey Graham surface. Will she be fired for homophobia? Nah, it's not really homophobia if it's about a Republican. It's all ahead on KKHI, brought to you by BStock.net and the outlet store in Olathe. You still have time. No more deliveries. No more deliveries. Okay, no more deliveries for the big game on Sunday. They are backlogged now. You got to pick it up. But they have great televisions across the board, anywhere from $200 to $700. You can get some big screen TVs, take them home, plug them in, and have a great new set for the big game on Sunday. All kinds of huge discounts, mainly on the biggest selection of Samsung TVs anywhere in Kansas City. Their prices absolutely are 20 to 30% less than Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. There's no other place to even consider buying electronics in Kansas City ever again. If you need a computer, if you need a television, BStock.net's outlet store in Olathe is the place to go. These are new items with warranties. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It is too good to be true, but it's true. I mean, it's unbelievable how good this is. Go pick one up for the big game and impress your friends when they come over this weekend. BStock.net. Elite Energy, part of Elite Automation. Elite Energy is the branch of Elite Automation that basically is the consulting branch. What they'll do is they'll come out to your building, and instead of installing a new system or a new control panel or anything like that, they're just going to take a look at where you're losing money and say, listen, it could be this machinery over here. It could be a large ticket item. It could be the HVAC. It could be plugins. You could have a machine shop where you have, they'll say, run these at this time of day, do this way. And if you follow their system, you're going to save money with no cost to you to have them come do this for you. It's free. That service is free. When you start saving money every month, a percentage of what you save is what they'll collect from you. It's really that simple. I mean, it's a no-lose proposition. You got to go check it out online, eliteautomate.com. And of course, my friends, Mike and the gang at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. I've had a chance this week to cruise around a couple of times. He sent over a Sierra Denali GMC truck that is so comfortable. These big leather seats in this bad boy are really something else. My wife loves it, I think, more than I do. I mean, she loves riding around in this thing. I took it over yesterday to a friend's house who's having trouble with his fireplace, and my father-in-law can fix anything, and I met him over there. My father-in-law's like, he heard I had this thing. He's like, he's a truck guy. He's like, I got to see this thing. We didn't get inside my buddy's house for 20 minutes because he was standing out in the driveway looking at this truck, sitting in the seat, checking out everything that it does. It's really cool. If you haven't seen the GMC Sierra Denali, you haven't seen a truck. They've got them at Roberts Robinson, or they'll find exactly the truck for you. That's why they say, we just make it easy. That's what they do at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior. They have some great financing programs going on right now, and GMC is the best in trucks. We are professional grade. All right, it's Super Bowl 55, and I think for once, what players, well, not once, but the very rare occasion, I think what three stars of the Chiefs have said this week really, really matters. Hit it!
Back 9 Development is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at back9development.com.
Well, what can be more fun than a Super Bowl weekend for the second year in a row as the Chiefs are ready to take on Tampa Sunday evening in Super Bowl 55, and we're going to deal with just the important stuff here right at the start, and that is the big stars of the Kansas City Chiefs and what they have said this week and why sometimes what players say matters. If you can hear a player say something during the week that gives you something from the inside, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, if you will, about what's going on with the football team, you can garner some information and start to feel pretty good. I've been watching all of these people this week say, wow, you know, the play here is Tom Brady plus 3 points, plus 3.5 points. The Bucs are going to win it outright. So many people leave or just trying to be contrarian or different and say, listen, how could you go against Tom Brady? And I like to point out to those folks that when the Chiefs win this game, Tom Brady's going to be 6-4 in Super Bowls. And that's why I keep bringing up this number that he only averages 23 points per game. Tom Brady has won a lot of Super Bowls because of his defense, and he may well win this one. But if he does, it will be because of his defense. He is not going to win a shootout against Patrick Mahomes. If there is one app, listen, I'll stake this and I'll replay this Monday if I'm wrong. If there is one given in this football game, it is Tom Brady will not beat Patrick Mahomes in a shootout. They are not going to beat the Chiefs 48-45. They're not going to, because at some point Brady's going to throw a pick or they're going to have to punt or do whatever. It's just, that's not in the works here. That is not what this football game is going to be. I can't see that in a million years. The Chiefs defense makes too many big plays. I can't see it. I simply can't see it. So, yes, the Bucs can win the game. If the defense shows up, takes the ball away from the Chiefs, they keep it somewhat low scoring, as they did the last game. Somehow, Tyreek Hill had 270 receiving and Mahomes threw for 460. Chiefs had 550 yards offense and only scored 27 points. So we've talked about that a lot, that the Chiefs this year at times had trouble getting in the end zone. They had a couple of drives that they goofed up in that game. They had a lot more yardage and should have had way more points. They should have had at least 41 points in that game, and they didn't. So do we credit the Bucs, or do we say the Chiefs are now a different animal in the postseason? Well, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, what I think. I think the Chiefs have done the hardest thing in sports. I think they've sort of worked 75-80% through the regular season, went 14-1 with the starters, essentially. They've gone 25-1 with Patrick Mahomes as a starter. And anybody that is sitting here going, well, you got to go with Tom Brady, I completely understand and respect his career. I absolutely do. But this is a team that's struggled a lot this year. It is a team that has been disjointed at times. It is a team that relies way too much on just heaving the ball downfield offensively and hoping something good will happen. It's a different kind of football team. They're a good football team. I think we're going to look back and say, Tampa was just another one of those teams that we saw win a playoff game that nobody thought they'd win, get to a Super Bowl, and lose. Does that sound like anybody you know? It sounds like the 49ers from last year. And what possible reason, after watching the 49ers last year, did you have to believe that they were going to come back and do this again? And the answer was basically nothing. They got there, and you saw how they got there. They won a road playoff game. Nobody thought they'd win. They got to the Super Bowl, and they lost. This is generally what happens. There have been a couple of exceptions. The Raiders way back in the day, the Steelers as a wild card, have gone on the road. They've won the games, and they've done it, and they've won the Super Bowl. But generally what happens with teams like this is they are proven to be what they were in the regular season, a very good football team, but not a 15-1 or 25-1 football team like the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think that gets proven out. And in my opinion, the only way the Chiefs lose this game is if they beat themselves. There's four or five teams in the NFL that I can name. I'd rather play Tampa than them in this game, including the Green Bay Packers. Nobody's asked the question this week that we all talk about Tom Brady and his greatness through the years. Would you rather be facing Aaron Rodgers? And my answer is hell no, I don't want to face Aaron Rodgers this week. Because Aaron Rodgers could go out there and light you up. I mean, the year he had was so much better than any other quarterback. It was legit. And that team is legit. And they weren't good last week. And you got to credit the Bucs for that. The Bucs defense was solid in the first half. Brady made enough throws. And somehow, Somehow, some way, three Tom Brady interceptions in the second half wasn't enough for the Packers to come back and win. And the trouble the Packers had was something that they're really great at. They were really good and better than the Chiefs at scoring touchdowns in the scoring zone. And ultimately, that game was lost by a four-down stop inside the 10-yard line where Green Bay couldn't get in. So it did happen. They can do it. And they can do it to the Chiefs. I'll never discount in a game and say the other team can't win. There are plenty of formulas for the Bucs to win this game. Most of them have to do with the Chiefs failing. Either turning it over, if they're going to go muff a punt again and do some of the silly things that they've done this year, commit a bunch of penalties, have more turnovers than Tampa, yeah, the Chiefs are in trouble, but they'll make it close. They'll still have a chance at the end. I think we all see that. But look, anybody who's telling you, and I've seen a half dozen people this week, like, I just can't go against Brady. How do you go against a team that's 25-1, has the best player on the planet, and seemingly just doesn't lose? Now, gambling line is something entirely different. This Mattress Mac, the furniture guy in Texas, Jim McInvale, has bet $3.5 million on Tampa plus 3.5. He flew to Colorado and wagered this money via DraftKings, which sounds a little odd. I guess he just wanted to get on the ground in Colorado, make it legal, and do it. Again, Kansas and Missouri, past legalized gambling. This guy could have flown to Wichita and saved money. He could have flown to Wichita from Texas on his private jet and placed the bet and gone back. This is absurd that we don't have this in Kansas and Missouri. So he's bet $3.5 million on Tampa plus 3.5. Okay? He has also, at his furniture stores, said, if you spend $3,000 or more this week or the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, we will refund your money. These are non-refundable purchases. You buy the furniture, you can't bring it back. $3,000 or more at his mattress store, at his furniture store, and if Tampa wins the Super Bowl, you get all your money back. So his bet, pretty obviously, is hedging what he's got here. He's made a lot of money. He's probably sold well more than $3.5 million worth of furniture on this promotion. So it's not exactly as it appears. He's hedging. I get it. If the Bucs win the game, he wins $3.5 million right there in his pocket, which would be fantastic that he can use to pay back all these customers. So he is hedging. It's a business play. He's a smart guy. This is a great promotion, and he is in business. He's not really risking $3.5 million here, but it looks as if he is. I'm surprised there isn't more of this in business. When gambling becomes legal, there's going to be a ton of this in business. A ton, which is going to bring people in that have never bet and will never bet on a sporting event and say, you know what, we didn't need a mattress anyway. Store X or B-Stock. Let's just say it's B-Stock. Chris out of B-Stock says, hey, any TV, $1,500 or more, if the Chiefs win, we'll refund all your money. And he goes and he does that and he sees how the sales are going. And then he places a wager for that to happen, so to cover his bets. If the Chiefs win, he wins the money, and he pays you back. If not, he made a whole bunch of sales and probably broke even. This is what you do. It's marketing. It's promotion. It's, you know, we did a whole bunch of this kind of stuff in radio. We used to do it with BrandsMart, you know, free TV giveaways for the Super Bowl. Everything's refunded. They would buy insurance policies. I think in those days it was, would there be a kick return for a touchdown? And if there was a kick return for a touchdown, everything, every purchase made is free. And BrandsMart used to buy insurance policies on that. You know, there's insurance companies that will sell you that sort of thing. And so this is fun, but don't take it for too much more than it is. I think people who are just saying, how can you bet against Tom Brady, are looking at his career, and they're talking about this epic matchup of a Super Bowl. And this is rated going into the game by many people who have been alive for all the Super Bowls and have either worked in media or been in football. There are ex-coaches, ex-players, all kinds of people talking about this. This is the greatest Super Bowl matchup ever because it is essentially, as we've said so many times, Michael Jordan playing against LeBron James or Jack Nicklaus against Tiger Woods. And we're seeing this here, and I don't think anybody questions that Patrick Mahomes is going to win multiple Super Bowls, that he is the greatest quarterback anybody's ever seen, but he is not the greatest of all time. Because Tom Brady has scoreboard. He has the records. He has it all. But nobody has seen what Patrick Mahomes does. So this is the next gen. Here we are, 20 years later. Here's the next guy. And here's what he does. And we've never seen anything like this. And 20 years from now, somebody's going to come along and make Mahomes look average. Not average. is going to make Mahomes look very good. But you'll clearly see somebody someday that's 24 years old, and you'll go, oh, my God, Mahomes has had a great career, unbelievable career, but look at what this guy's doing. You know? I mean, it's absolutely possible. I've always thought at some point, someday, some quarterback's going to come along that's ambidextrous, and you don't know whether he's throwing right-handed or left-handed. I just feel like someday that's going to happen. And when he rolls out left, it becomes easier because he can just throw left-handed. I think someday that's coming. I don't know, maybe not. But, you know, these are weird things that I think about. This is a great matchup. This is a great, great game. Now, if Brady had been at Tampa a little bit longer, it would probably be even better. And we've seen Mahomes and Brady in games in the AFC, in the AFC Championship game. This is scoreboard for life, as far as I'm concerned. These players have faced each other twice. The record is 2-2. If Mahomes wins this one and goes on to have a career, he could get 5 Super Bowls to Brady's 6. And if he had all these passing records, there would still be an argument who's the greatest of all time. Because they'd go back and they'd look at it and they'd say, look, Mahomes was 3-2 against Brady and he beat him in the Super Bowl. People would say that. There's just a lot on the line, and it is a great, great matchup. I mean, this is just fantastic. So here's what the important particulars are saying, and there are really the 3 biggest stars on this team are on offense. Tyrann Mathieu is the 4th biggest star, but the 3 biggest stars are Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill. And I think with fan popularity, it's probably Mahomes, Kelce, and then someone else. People love Tyreek Hill, but there are others that are... So it may, in popularity, be Mahomes, Kelce, Mathieu. But the 3 biggest stars and factors in this game are these 3 players. So here's what they're saying this week and why it's important. Patrick Mahomes has repeated many, many times that no one is happy with 1 Super Bowl. And that's important. That's very important because that means they're thinking about something. They're thinking about only 1 thing, and that is winning this game. And for 2 weeks. And I think they've probably, although they haven't said this, they've probably looked at the list of small number of teams that have won back-to-back Super Bowls and the small number of teams that have won 2 generations. The Chiefs have won 2, certainly. But the generations, the Chiefs won 4 and 54, right? But the generation, this era, this would be an era of football. No matter what happens, whether Kelce and Hill, you know, hit a wall because they're getting older or whatever, if that happens, this would at least be 2 for this iteration of Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm of the belief that Patrick Mahomes is going to be here a lot longer than Andy Reid. And Patrick Mahomes will have another coach that he will probably win a Super Bowl with. So there, and Kelce and Hill will be gone. But this generation will have at least 2. And I think that's important. And I think he's communicated that with his very good friends on this team. He's very close to a lot of guys in this team. He's saying, look, this is 2 for us. There's a core of us that can say we had 2. You know, Mahomes may wind up with 5. He may wind up with 7. But for Kelce and Hill and all these other players, by the way, Eric Fisher. Okay, there's very important players here. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu. There's players here that are all going to wind up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame if the Chiefs win it. Probably because they've won 1, but guaranteed if they win 2. If they win 2, you're looking at probably 7 people from this making it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in one fashion or another because of this. It is a, man, it's a mean stamp. You're part of 2 Super Bowl teams. I mean, that's a really, really big deal. They're going to look, they'll take a hard look at a lot of players that played in Kansas City, let's say 5, 6, 7, 8 years and won 2 Super Bowls. You got a chance to make the Hall of Fame, even if you're not a great player, but a very good player. And there would be a lot of players in that category on this football team. It becomes very, very interesting. A young corner like L'Jarius Sneed, we look at him and say, okay, what's his career going to be? What if he goes on to be one of the best corners in the league and he won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs? He's going to make it, right? He's going to make it. I mean, there's some. What about Sammy Watkins, who may leave after this year? What if he comes in, wins 2 Super Bowls with the Chiefs, had a great postseason last year? Let's say he has 70 yards and a touchdown on Sunday, and he had his career in Kansas City and plays 4 or 5 more years, even if it's elsewhere, although it may be not. It may be here. Hall of Fame. I think he's got a real chance. I mean, there's just all kinds of players that will have a chance. So I love it when Mahomes says no one is happy with 1 Super Bowl. I think that's very important. Travis Kelce said something that backed that up about how important this game is. This is a weird thing because he was asked about touchdown dances. And I've never heard this in the last, there's been 5 years, right? Three to five years they've been doing these end zone dances and they're allowed to choreograph and do all these things. Travis Kelce said there is not one choreographed celebration for this game. There is nothing. This game is too big for that. They've shelved it. It's gone. They're not thinking about it and they're not doing it. Now, something may just happen after a touchdown. We could see that. The guys gather and somebody hollers out, hey, let's, you know, some dance that they have or something, they can holler something out. Maybe they all start doing it, but they're not practicing or choreographing anything for this game. The Chiefs are all business, that they've got to win this game. I think that's huge. For his part, Tom Brady is locked in. He sent his family packing for 12 days. He's got this mansion in Tampa. He sent his whole family, wife, kids, everybody, left for 12 days. They're coming back Saturday for the game. So they'll all be together Saturday night at the house. But all of his preparation, he's like, nope, I'm working long hours when I'm home. I don't have any time for family right now. I'm studying film of every Chiefs player. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And the family has left for 12 days. That's amazing what some of these players will do for the Super Bowl. And Tyreek Hill, if this is true, this is the most important quote of the week. If this is true, if you ask a football coach, any football coach, they will tell you that excellent practice leads to winning football games. That a crispness, a sharpness, an edge, things that you see in practice will lead to how you play Sunday. There clearly are exceptions to that. But the general rule is, if you drive 65 miles an hour on the interstate, you're not going to get a speeding ticket or you're not going to get pulled over. There's a time the radar gun's broken and they'll pull you over and I say, I was doing 65. And you say, yeah, maybe you are. This thing's been jammed up, whatever. Things like that can happen. But I'm telling you, there isn't a football coach anywhere that doesn't believe if this quote is true, let's put it this way. Andy Reid right now is extremely confident his team is going to win this game. Tyreek Hill said Mahomes in practice the last 2 weeks has been, quote, on a roll, unquote. He's been throwing crazy dots. The dot is the point of the football. When the ball is thrown perfectly as a spiral and it's dead on target right at the receiver can see a dot in the spiraling ball. It creates a dark circle, and you see it coming at you. It is the perfectly thrown football. It not only means it is spiraling perfectly, it's spinning at a high rate of speed, which is what all quarterbacks want, and receivers, it makes it harder to catch, but it's their job, okay? It also means it's extremely accurate. It's right on line because the receiver sees it coming right at his chest. So Tyreek Hill said he's been throwing crazy dots the last 2 weeks, and he's never seen him this accurate, and he's been on a roll in practice. If that's true, that means Mahomes is locked in a little bit more, and it means the Chiefs have that very rare little bit of DNA that they're the team that can somewhat, I won't say lollygag, the Chiefs didn't lollygag, but how many podcasts did we do this fall where we thought the Chiefs were not a very serious football team? They were sloppy. They were either arrogant or cocky or bored or whatever the term is you want to use. The Chiefs were that. And there was no excuse for them not playing better than they did. We knew it. We saw it. We watched it. And now we've watched the six plus quarters of Mahomes football in the postseason, and the Chiefs have been an entirely different football team. Now, when he went out against Cleveland, that game got tight. Everybody knows that when he was out of the game. When Mahomes is on the field in the postseason, this postseason, the Chiefs have been unstoppable and just dominant over the Browns and the Bills. I mean, dominant over those football teams. Those quotes matter. Those quotes absolutely matter. You have to believe them. You have to want to believe them. But if you do believe them, it's just a great, great sign. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron's team is available 24/7. They're the best roofer for residential or commercial buildings anywhere in Kansas City. They work with all the different manufacturers, so price point is never a factor. If you're only going to be in your house a couple more years, or if you're flipping a house that needs a roof, Ron can do that with a very low-cost, high-quality product for you and beat anybody's price. If you're building the biggest mansion, like Patrick Mahomes is going to build, apparently, out in Johnson County where he's bought all this land, Ron Buck can put you the most fancy, expensive roof on your house that you've ever seen. Decorative, gorgeous, whatever it may be, he does it all. 384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Fry Orthodontics, the choice for the Keatsman family when it was time to get braces for my daughter. We gave her a beautiful smile for life. And at Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. But it makes a difference with your kids in their confidence going forward in their adulthood. Your first appointment is free at any of the 12 area locations of Fry Orthodontics. If you're an adult and you'd like to make your smile better, improve your smile, why don't you check out the products by Invisalign offered at Fry Orthodontics. I wouldn't go anywhere else for Invisalign anywhere in the Midwest. Jeremy Fry and his team are the best. You know the name. You know the name for a reason. He has 12 locations for a reason. They're the best. Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. And Joslyn's Jewelry, what a way to celebrate after the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Head over to Joslyn's Jewelry and do some Valentine's Day shopping, guys. You can do this. Valentine's is coming up. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Okay, there's a young lady that is conservative that you may know of, you probably know of, and I don't know whether you're on Twitter or you follow on social media or whatever, but I don't see her enough on Twitter, and I don't follow her enough, but I need to do this more. She's 31 years old. She just had her first child a few weeks ago, and she went quiet for a while, and she had this baby. She married a man that she'd only met for like 3 weeks, and he's British, and they got engaged after 3 weeks and married. And then a year later, she announced she's pregnant, and now she's had this baby. And she is, I mean, she's an absolute spitfire. She grew up in public housing. She's black. And she didn't make it through journalism school. She started to do things online as an influencer, as a vlogger, political influencer. I'm not a Kardashian here taking pictures of my body. This is, I believe in America. I'm getting out of public housing. I'm going to go make my life great. And she's like the biggest Trump supporter ever. Her name is Candace Owens. You probably know about her. And she's awesome. She is now back dropping bombs after having her baby a month ago or 3 weeks ago. And she has just absolutely unloaded like nobody else on the planet on AOC. It is a beatdown. If you're not on Twitter, just Google Candace Owens on AOC, and the stuff will pop up on your screen, and you'll be able to read the tweets and the things that she did. She is just destroying AOC for hiding in her office while this was going on at the Capitol building and fabricating her story that she was in fear for her life. For her part, AOC is now saying, while she was a block and a half down the street, safely in her office, she says, I was wrong. The person banging on my door was a police officer. But now she says, I was even scared of the police officer. How could I trust that he was on my side? Okay, you have 10,000 troops around the Capitol and you trust them every day. You walk past all kinds of police and guards to get into the Capitol building every single day. And you're saying the guy knocking at your door that was a police officer you didn't trust, that he looked angry and mean and you closed the door on him? You were scared of a cop in your office while the Capitol was being stormed. You were a block and a half away, and this is your story. Now AOC on an Instagram post says she just wants the whole thing to go away. Well, of course she does. And on the other side in the media, we have clowns like Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon on CNN. Cuomo has said the threat doesn't have to be real, unquote, for you to think that you're going to die. I'm like, wait, what? Nobody stormed the building. Nobody was in the hallway. It wasn't loud. It wasn't what she described. And they're saying, we agree, she wasn't at the Capitol. She wasn't in danger. But now they're defending her by saying, the threat doesn't have to be real for you to be scared. There is nothing real about AOC, and that's what Candace Owens has busted out on her. She went to Twitter, and she posted four photographs from a couple of years ago where AOC apparently went somewhere to the border where there's a fence. And took pictures wearing all white. Her entourage, three or four people were wearing all white as if they were on this holy mission to go get these kids out of Trump's cages at the border. This was what it was about. Trump put kids in cages, forgetting the fact that Obama put them there first, which is a fact. Obama built them and they housed kids. It's not cages. They housed them there first. Period. Fact. Trump simply was enforcing the law in America and got in trouble for it by the left. She goes to the border and does a photo shoot. They're not letting her in. They're not letting her anywhere near these kids. So she's just standing at a fence, and she bends over and she puts her hands in her face and she fakes like she's just crying her eyes out at the sight of these children. She has another one where it looks like Kevin in Home Alone, where she has her hands on her face and she's going, oh, and she's staring. And you can see the fence and you can see her. What you can't see is Candace Owens' photos, because see, AOC was stupid and she took an entourage of people there to take pictures of her. And many of them took real pictures that it was fake, that it was staged, that she's just standing at a fence and there are no kids and there's nothing to be horrified by. And she was acting and this was fraudulent and she was basically lying that she was not staring at kids in cages and horrified by it. Candace Owens has put all these pictures from a few years ago on Twitter. It is disgusting what AOC did. It's despicable. It's the complete and utter lie of the left. It's what they do. I don't know how this is all going to break down. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in America. But I can't believe that one party gets to do the things that AOC does, and everybody seemingly, except Candace Owens and a few outlets, give her a pass, and she just keeps getting elected, and it's all okay. I can't even imagine. I mean, they're all over this Marjorie Taylor Greene, congresswoman, first time from the right, because she's saying things that are making them uncomfortable and outing them on things that are true in many cases. She said some things in her past that turned out not to be true, but it doesn't matter. Since she's been in Congress, what she said has been true, and they don't like it. They see her as a threat. They're trying to marginalize her. Can you imagine if she went to the border right now and staged those pictures and said, look at Biden? In fact, she should go to the border. She should go to the border, stand in front of a fence, and act like she's horrified looking at children that are in cages because of Joe Biden. She should do this. And watch what happens to her. But this is outrageous. And so Candace Owens doesn't stop there. She then says, you've been lying about conservatives planting bombs outside your office, outside the Democrat headquarters. Not true. The FBI doesn't know who planted them, and they planted bombs near Democrat and Republican headquarters. There is no way to tell who did this or what their political leanings are, that you're a liar. She also went on to say, Candace Owens did, I live right by the Capitol. So Ted Cruz tried to murder me too. I was a block and a half away in my apartment. I love it. She said Ben Shapiro, the conservative radio show host and podcaster, AOC at one point said he catcalled her on some issues, that he referred to that as catcalling, which means Ben Shapiro is sexist. Okay, that's sexist. He catcalled me. And so Candace Owens says, how many other false claims have you made about men? Because Ben Shapiro's claims against her were simply political and factual, in fact-checking. And she referred to that as a negative, you're picking on me because I'm a woman. So Candace Owens says, how many other false claims do you have against men? You were escorted out of the building and you claimed it was the same as sexual assault. And now she's just blasting her on Twitter saying, you wonder why people don't believe women when they say they were assaulted. You're referring walking out of the Capitol building to being sexually assaulted. I mean, this Candace Owens is just destroying AOC on Twitter. It is so fantastic to watch. And the reason it's fantastic to watch, it's a black, conservative, young woman. They're of the same generation. The only difference is AOC walks around and acts like she was some poor girl from the hood when she grew up in Westchester County, New York, and went to a fancy high school. And is the Democrat. Candace Owens, on the other hand, is the conservative who literally grew up in the projects, in public housing, and is completely self-made. I love Candace Owens. I love, love, love her. I hope she gets an even bigger platform if she wants it. She's got a choice to make. Do I want to raise my kids and do what I'm doing and select and choose, or do I want to run for office, or do I want to go to Fox News and anchor some big show? What do I want to do? I mean, the world is hers. The world is hers, and she's a rising star, and she has just completely exposed AOC for everything that she is, and I love it. Ted Cruz was on a podcast this week where he was asked to pick the Super Bowl, and he said Patrick Mahomes is a beast, and he picks the Chiefs over Tampa. But it was a good conversation at Outkick where he talked about the way sports has led America out of COVID-19, out of the pandemic. And his point basically was this: why are we waiting so long to have other businesses do what sports has done? Sports has shown us we can live our lives. We can do everything we want to do. Let's go back to work. let's get back to normalcy and let's go live. Sports has showed us the way. And he did pick the Chiefs over Tampa and said Patrick Mahomes is a beast. To that end, the Phoenix Open has several thousand fans this week. It's fun to watch. I've watched the early rounds. They did a good thing at the Phoenix Open. They put up all the corporate tents all the way around, which makes it look more like an event, like there's a lot going on. There's only a few people in those tents, so they're not packed. Like each suite that holds 16 probably has four people in it or six people in it. They've limited that number, and they've allowed 5,000 fans to walk around the golf course, but they're all sort of congregating toward the finishing holes, which is kind of cool. So it looks like a real golf tournament. I like that. This is the most fans that have been back at an event since golf basically shut down on that front. At the exact same time, the Phoenix Open is doing that, and Ted Cruz is saying, let's get everything else back to normal because sports is doing just fine. Our esteemed president, Joe Biden, is pushing for baseball to move its season back another month. He doesn't want them to start until late April, maybe May. Just put it back a month. And why does Biden want them to do that? An outdoor game with limited crowds. Why does Biden want them to do that? He wants them to do that so there's more time to vaccinate the players. And I'm going to ask you one more time. What is the point of vaccinating 28-year-old men that play sports? My goodness, we got bigger problems than that. They test them all the time. If a 28-year-old baseball player or 24-year-old baseball player gets COVID-19, lock them down for 14 days. They're off the team. They cannot be a danger to anyone. You quarantine them. That's part of their job. They got to stay home. They got COVID. They're not going to go spread it to other people. If it becomes a problem for a team that gets six or seven guys that have COVID, that's the team's problem. They got to shut them all down. That's their problem. This has nothing to do with society. And wasting vaccine on 24-year-old baseball players is wasting vaccine over someone who really needs it. Joe Biden is an idiot. He's just delusional on this stuff. You'd think by pushing this back a month, you can vaccinate all the baseball players? Well, the only reason they do any of this stuff in sports is because apparently public COVID, public figure COVID, is worse than private COVID. Like just a regular citizen getting COVID is not a thing. But man, if it happens with a football player or an actor or a baseball player, people will see it, and that's worse, and we can't have that. Why? Why? How are these people any different than the rest of us? Why should any athlete get a shot before my mom or your mom? Why? This is insanity. What are these people thinking about or talking about? And how dare baseball, if they're thinking about lining up and buying vaccines for all these players before we get everyone who needs it vaccinated? These people don't need it. They are not at risk. Where's the story of the athlete being hospitalized? I'm just asking. Do we have a death in athletics? We've been doing this for months now, and it doesn't exist. What happens is a player gets COVID, and they get shut down for 14 days. That's it. Then they come back, and guess what? They're a healthy 25-year-old athlete crushing it for millions of dollars. This is insane, some of these things they talk about. Start baseball. Start it on time. Go play your season. Do your protocols. And you did it last year. Figure it out. Allow fans into the ballpark. It's going to be just fine. But no, no. It's funny because at the same time, Ted Cruz is saying, all right, sports has made it. We're good with sports. Let's move on to other areas of life. No, Biden wants to go backwards in sports and start shutting things down again. It really is remarkable. This is also a president who made it very clear his first week on the job that his family was not going to profit from him being president of the United States. This is very important to Joe Biden. I don't know if you saw the statement they put out. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about this now that I'm president, that my family will not profit off me being president. Okay. All right. Here we are. February 4th, it is announced that Simon & Schuster are giving a $2 million advance to Hunter Biden to write a book. Hunter Biden, $2 million advance to write a book after Joe Biden has said his family will not cash in on the presidency. A couple weeks later, $2 million, check's written, it's done. He's already got his $2 million, now he's got to write the book. Guess what the book is about? The book is about his drug use and what a loser he is. The president's kid is writing a book about what a loser he is, and I say is because there's no reason to believe that he's better. There's none. And if he's going to write about his really sordid background, oh, it'll be a book people will read if it's honest. This is a guy that as soon as his brother died, he just jumped on his ex-wife, on the widow. Just jumped on her. Just, okay. I mean, right after his brother died, maybe before, who knows? I mean, it's sick. It's a sick family. It really, truly is a sick, twisted, spoiled Washington, D.C. swamp family. And now, after the president says his family's not going to profit off him being president, his loser son, and there's no other way to describe this guy other than he's a loser, this loser son gets $2 million to write his book about being a drug addict, a crack whore, a crack addict, sleeping with crack whores and prostitutes and filming pornography and all the things that Hunter Biden has done, and he's getting paid for it. At the same time, folks, this is the same company that pulled the contract from devout Christian, family man, and outstanding United States Senator Josh Hawley. The world is jacked up, folks. Simon & Schuster is paying Hunter Biden for a book about all of the rotten things he's done, and they pull the book from Josh Hawley for being one of the most upstanding, smartest people, most patriotic Americans you'll ever find. It is unbelievable. It is just remarkable what's going on. And my favorite of the week, Jen Psaki, who is, they're calling her Circle Back Jen. We're all kind of in that. Get Back Jen, Get Back Girl. They're calling her Get Back Girl, Circle Back Girl. That's all she says. I got to circle back to you on that. I got to circle back to you on that. I got to circle back to you on it. Will anyone in the White House press corps have the balls to push her and ask her about a tweet that has surfaced about Lindsey Graham when Jen Psaki was working at CNN, right? She went from the bomb throwing at CNN to White House press speaker. She referred to Lindsey Graham as hashtag Lady G, which is basically saying he's a transgender, that he's a biological female who's changed his sex to male. That is what she tweeted about Lindsey Graham 2 years ago. It's trying to be funny, trying to be serious. I don't know. It is widely believed by many that Lindsey Graham is a closeted gay man. People, I'm not saying that's true. I don't know. It's never occurred to me. I don't care. I've said this many times. I don't care what people are. I'm tired of labeling people. I'm done with it. I don't care what he is. Neither should Jen Psaki. Apparently, there's this group on the left that are so extreme. These people are so extreme. They're all about gay rights, LGBTQ, all that. But if you're in the closet, you kind of get a check mark by you. If you haven't come out publicly as celebrating that and being that, and you just want to live your life, if you want to live a private life as a gay person, apparently they look down at you. Now you're a conservative who wants to live a private life as a gay person. They will out you, and they'll refer to you as hashtag Lady G, which is as bigoted, biased, awful, homophobic slur as you could possibly come up with. And she is the press secretary for the president of the United States. And that came out yesterday on Thursday. And if somebody doesn't ask her about it at some point, if they don't push her on this, she should be fired, by the way. She should be fired just for that, just for ever thinking or saying that. Oh, but wait, it's about a Republican. And she's a dyed-in-the-wool liberal. She's probably going to be the worst, most disastrous press secretary in history. It is not going to get better. It has been a terrible start for her. I mean, just awful. She doesn't know anything. When they ask her a real question, she doesn't know. They're applauding her for doing a deal every day. That's going to stop. She's so bad at these, there's no way they can keep trotting her out there every day. No way. Because that's like one question a day at least from a conservative outlet. They don't let Fox News in every day. They don't let all the conservatives in every day. They rotate people into the press pool. So they try to keep out unfriendly people. Not unfriendly. They try to keep out fair people. People who would come in and ask an honest question like, do you have something against transgenders because you made fun of Lindsey Graham about that? Is it okay to make jokes about transgenders? That's a legitimate question for her right now. Will anybody ask it is the question. I hope they do. Somebody's got to start asking questions to these people about the hypocrisy and the way that they live and how they clearly, it is so obvious, liberals are more biased more biased against other people than conservatives, because conservatives at their core basically don't care. They believe in the individual. They don't care. I mean, maybe it's a terrible thing to say, but it's in our DNA. We just don't care as much about other people. We don't care what wait a second. That didn't sound right. We don't care what other people are. We don't care what other people are. We don't. They do. They label it and they judge and they come after you, especially if you're a conservative. They go after conservative black people. They don't like that. Oh, God. Candace Owens. Woo-hoo-hoo, do they hate her? She is their worst nightmare. She is their worst nightmare because she will be a tremendous role model for young girls, especially young black girls, if they find her on social media. She's Christian. She lives a good life. She knows what she's talking about, and she knows America. And it scares the hell out of them because they know they can't win the issues. Democrats can never win on issues. Never. It has to be hate. They have to throw hate the other way. You have to hate the other side. And I know you don't really like what we stand for and what we vote for, but you got to vote with us, because if you don't, you're a hater. Those other people are awful. Those are bad people. Come over here. You're at least, if you don't agree with us, at least you're a good person by voting with us. It's so pathetic. It really is just unbelievably sad that that's what goes on. But it does. All right, we're going to have some bonus programming up this weekend. I'm going to do a podcast with Spencer for his 21st birthday. I took him to the Super Bowl, the Packers Super Bowl win in Dallas. And we will talk about that. We'll preview the game on the weekend edition. I'll host. He'll be the guest. So that one's going to be going up either Friday night or Saturday morning. We have another patrons post coming out. I'll be sending the newsletter out in the next 24 hours or so. The Super Bowl edition. If you'd like to sign up to become a patron, just go to kkhasissues.com. It's $5 a month. You get all the patron podcasts and you get the newsletter every week. So it's all right there at kkhasissues.com. And we're looking forward to a great weekend. As always, I can't thank you enough for listening to the podcast here at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.